We're so excited to have in our studio today Ms. Ora Jones, who plays Mrs. Phelps in the new Broadway and Chicago musical Matilda. And immediately, you know, you say something, you say Matilda, and you start to smile because I think it could be perceived, well, it was a children's story. It was Roald Dahl.
Yep.
Tell us about Matilda.
Matilda the story, Matilda the musical,
Matilda
the kids.
Let's do Matilda the story first.
That is a really great story. I was just saying before we started this interview that Roald Dahl seems to have a really good, really great access to a child's mind and how they tell their stories. And so Matilda is just this amazing story about a little girl who seems out of place in her own family and in her own world because she seems to have some extraordinary capabilities. She taught herself to read. She taught herself to do basically everything, and is living in a world with, you know, neglectful parents who truly don't understand her, and kids and other people who find her absolutely fascinating and amazing. But really living in a world dealing with bullies and overcoming that in really imaginative, if somewhat hilarious, ways.
So the book, obviously, many of us familiar with Roald Dahl. I mean, mm-hmm. He's iconic as a children's author.
Yep.
But a lot of his themes, even if you read the book years and years and years ago when it came out, mm-hmm. a lot of the themes still hold true to today. You mentioned bullying and overcoming that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a modern-day version of it.
Yeah, it is unfortunate that, but it's... All of us, you know, those of us of a certain age will say, well, you know, every kid goes through it. We all went through it and we all survived it. But with social media, especially these days, what people are subjected to in terms of persecution, and you don't have to be a kid to understand this, you know,
right.
being persecuted for just being who you are, there you are, just being who you are, is kind of extraordinary these days. And unfortunately, it's something that still exists. Unfortunately, you don't have to look very far to see the issues that we have in trying to understand ourselves and one another and learning how to communicate with one another and live next to,
right.
you know, with one another.
Is it difficult to bring, well, first of all, is it difficult to bring a book to the stage or more specifically a children's book, or is it easier?
I don't know because I didn't do it. I just auditioned for it. I imagine it was a tremendous undertaking. You know, a lot of people have seen the movie and they want to know what the comparisons are.
Yeah.
The stage version that we have is actually much closer to the book,
mm-hmm.
Although there are some great differences between, you know, in the book, what the mother is about, what Mrs. Wormwood, Matilda's mother, is about is a bit different. And Mrs. Phelps, the character that I play, is a bit different. But the story is essentially the same. It is. It can get a bit dark. But in working with these kids, who are absolutely fantastic, you know, the children that we have in this show, we find that, you know, or anybody who deals with children, they love the darkness of storytelling. They love the monsters and the dragons and the things that can eat you, and they really get into that. So having a bit of darkness in this play is a really wonderful juxtaposition to all the comedy and dance and music as well.
You've been on stage with wonderful actors and actresses.
Oh,
You've
yeah.
been, I mean, we'll talk Steppenwolf, too, but Chicago Shakespeare Theater, I mean, just you're so versatile as an actress. Is it more of a challenge to work with kids, or is it easier?
It's both. You know, because of the character that I play, my entire world is about Matilda and only Matilda. I have no other scene partner. So if they're sleepy that day.
But in that same respect, too, they probably look to you for guidance or support, or if they are sleepy that day
sometimes,
sad that day.
I'll tell you, though, yes, they are children, and so you might think, oh, you have to do everything for them, but all of the children in our show have they're very professional. Most of them have toured before. They've been on Broadway. They have, you know, done lots of professional theater. They're very, very intelligent. They're very creative and imaginative. They're singer, dancer, actors. I mean, they do it all. They're just younger.
Yeah.
So on the days when you're sleepy, all you have to do is look at them because they just don't stop moving, you know. If they have a break in the day, they are playing, they're running, they're coming up with fantastic stories of their own. And so we sort of help each other. We help each other that way. You know, one of the other actors in our show who plays the escape artist, Justin Packard, was talking about how in the dance numbers, there are certain moments where the kids have been out there and they have been dancing and dancing and dancing. And so the adults can come in to back that up and help them out because they've been kind of wearing themselves
right.
out. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to pick up with them and help them out as well.
What an amazing performance. You talk about the demands for the kids
mm-hmm.
of the dancing and the singing. But for you as an actress, talk a little bit about the demands. I mean, I always, as a non-actress, when I am a big fan of theater, I always think of the challenges and the demands. I mean, you're singing, you're dancing, you're acting, and you're doing it live
mm-hmm.
with no breaks.
Nope.
You know, this isn't like a recording where you can say, oh, cut, let's do another take. Oh, I'm tired, I have to sneeze, let's do another take. I mean, the demands really of being a stage actress are very considerable, are very high.
They are. there are people can compare film and television to stage acting. Each of them have their own challenges. With stage work, unless, you know, you do have a role where you're just on stage the entire time, you do get some breaks backstage, but you always have to keep part of your energy focused on getting back to the stage. You can't just completely forget where you are. And yes, once that curtain goes up, it is like the train leaving the station, and that train is going 1,000 miles an hour. And you have to keep up with the story, and you have to at the same time invite the audience to come with you on this bullet train. I don't think audience members really appreciate how much we appreciate them being there. It's really easy to come up with, well, it's really easy to come up with stereotypes of anything.
Right,
but,
right. But you know Chicago audiences are
yeah.
really into their theater.
They are. They are. We've been on tour for, I was just saying that for many of us, we started our first day of rehearsal a year ago.
Real 1 year.
And to be able to look back on that year and
Boy.
Look at the cities where we've been and the audiences we've encountered has been amazing. What we've learned in every town, they've been very, very different, you know, because the culture is different, their lives are different, and their either proficiency or access to theater is also different. But I have to say, it's great to be home.
Absolutely. It is nice, isn't it?
It is.
You can kind of wake up in your own city.
Yeah, you do. You do. To wake up in your own city, to not have to figure, like, I can't get lost, so I don't have to figure out now. Where am I going? How do I get there? Am I in a carpool? I could just get up and take the L. I know where I'm going. But also the thing that I get very, very proud of and very grateful for is how much live theater there is here.
Oh,
you know, a lot of the
wonderful.
Actors are asking, you know, when we have some time off, what kind of theater should we see? And my answer is, go outside, wherever you are, turn left or right, and the first theater you find, go in there, buy a ticket,
it's
and
true.
See what's going on.
It's true. I mean, Broadway and Chicago, spectacular, but the smaller theaters as well just really have some of the up-and-coming actors who are wonderful. Let's talk Steppenwolf, too. I mean, obviously, you're a proud member of the Steppenwolf Theater Ensemble Company. Do you find, when you say Steppenwolf anywhere in the world, people immediately know it?
No.
Or is that just our institute, our arrogance in Chicago?
No. Well, I mean, Steppenwolf has, like so many other theaters, you know, Steppenwolf did not just emerge as, you know, that giant building at North and Halsted. It started
right.
in, a church basement along with everybody else. And what they've been able to accomplish has been pretty amazing. And they are still expanding. I have not seen the place since I've gotten here.
Really?
I have not had a chance. We are, you
there's
know,
a new
we're doing
garage,
the show,
just a
and
little
know there's
stuff
a new
and
everything.
New restaurants?
Yeah, I know. I'm probably not go. I want to take some people on a tour
you
of
should,
the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to know where anything is. But Steppenwolf is of course, it's an incredible opportunity, and in this town, Yes, it is wonderful, but you have to know that these people who are with me on this tour, you know, they have careers in their own rights. Most of them work in musical theater. Mm-hmm. We also have, you know, great actors on the stage who can sing. Mr. Wormwood is a wonderful Shakespearean actor who also can sing his little tail off, and so his performance is particularly wonderful. It's a great mix of people who are either willing to take a chance. You know, I'm upstage during that dance number. You know, I'm upstage during that.
No, I highly doubt that. What's your biggest challenge? Do you have certain, I guess, genres that you prefer, comedy or Shakespeare or drama? Or do you look at, if you, say, audition for a role at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater, mm-hmm. do you look at that as more of a challenge and say, I'm going to step outside my comfort zone and audition for this? Or do you stay kind of with something that that's easier for you?
That is such a good question. You know, sometimes I look at my resume and I think to myself, how did this happen? I did not come into this career with any specific idea of the kind of work that I wanted to do. I just wanted to act. That is all I wanted to do. So wherever I could get an audition, that's what I did. And whatever opportunities were offered to me, that's what I took. And some people would offer me opportunities that I wouldn't have considered mm-hmm. for myself. And then you start looking at things and think, well, that's something I've never done before. Let me audition for that. But I tell people a lot, maybe I should stop making this joke, that my career is basically based on ignorance and a dare. You know, I'm like, sure, I'll give that a try. Sure, I'll try it. Why not? And it's part of the reason that I went on tour was that I had gotten complacent, not about the work that I do. I love the work that I do, but I'd gotten complacent about other areas of my life. You know, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know these people. I have a shorthand with them. They know me. And going on tour has been an amazing learning experience about who are you mm-hmm. when you are doing something you've never done before. You know, I did Christmas Carol for 11 years, and there's kids all over that.
Right.
But to work specifically with one child, and both of you, it's less of a mother-daughter or grown-up child relationship and more of a contemporary.
Sure, like a sisterhood almost.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. And that is your relationship. That hadn't happened before. The kind of dancing that I do in the show had never happened before. And I'd never toured before. So who are you when you are in a room full of people who don't know you? Mm-hmm. You're doing material you've never, ever seen before. You are going places you've never been. And everything you're doing, from dancing to riding around on a scooter to really connecting with a 9-year-old on stage in town after town and failing at it because it's all new to you. Well, who are you in those moments?
Right, right.
And there's been some frustration where I thought, oh, people don't know what I could do if only there was like a Shakespeare scene, if only I could this, that, and the other. But you don't learn doing that.
Right, and that shows your versatility. I mean, because you have conquered Shakespeare, and you have conquered comedy and working with children, which a lot of people might not want to do. Did you always know you wanted to be an actress?
Yeah.
From the time you were little?
That's an odd thing, yes. That is, I am one of those actors. There are some actors out there who will say, I didn't choose it, it chose me. And that is basically what happened. No one in my family was in the entertainment field. I had a cousin who played bass for a band, but that was about as close as I got. And I just didn't know anybody else. But for some reason, I always thought that's what I wanted to do. To the point where, when I got to college, when it was time to go to school, and my parents, of course, were just, really, you still want to be an actor?
At that point, right, you're going, oh, no.
Oh, no, 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 no.
And now they're saying, that's my daughter up on the stage.
Well, yes, every once in a while.
Yep.
Yeah, they're very proud, and they're also very, it's your turn to take out the trash whenever I come home, which is a really wonderful grounding thing. Whenever I get frustrated with this career, they always say, you're the same person you were when you left, you know. So,
and recycle this time, too.
Which is kind of nice. And now, of course, I've wandered away from your question.
Now, did you always know you wanted to be
I did.
And
so
you said, yeah.
When I got to college, I decided that I would that I would go to a university rather than just an acting conservatory, because I was very concerned that the 6-year-old person who wanted to be an actor might not be the 18-year-old person who's going to college now.
Right.
And I thought, well, because I also liked biology, I liked other subjects, and I thought, what if I get into this acting program and then it turns out it's not what I want to do? That transition's going to be a lot tougher at Juilliard.
Exactly.
That's going to be a lot tougher than if I go to a university where you have to study math, science, history, and all the rest of that. So I did that instead, and it didn't work. I came out with a BA in theater and still wanted to do it.
Do you remember what was your first callback like post college? Your first callback, do you remember it?
Yes, it was here.
What did you buy?
It was here. My very first show in Chicago was Little Shop of Horrors at the late great Candlelight Dinner Playhouse.
Oh, of course, yeah.
With amazing people, Hollis Resnick, Gordon McClure, Dale Morgan, Malcolm Rothman, Aisha DeHaas. To this day, Gene Wigant, and I think this is crazy that was my first show. It was also my first audition.
No kidding.
And I had no idea what I was doing. I'd gotten lost. I hadn't been living here very long. I was only supposed to be here on vacation, and I was still here after 3 months or so. And I just really did not know what I was doing. And I don't know how I got that callback, but I'll tell you, after the callback, they were sort of letting you know then whether you had the part or not. You would do the callback, and then you would just sort of sit in the lobby and wait for them to come and get you. It was almost like, you know, having to go to confession or something. And I remember Bill Polinzi, who I thank to this day for such an incredible opportunity, because that show was such an amazing hit in Chicago. You know, it ran for 9 months at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse and then 6 months at the Royal George.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. But he took me aside and he said, you know, the other girls sing better than you do, and they dance better than you do, and they do this better than you do, and they do that better than you do. And then he gave me the libretto and he walked away. And I thought, do I have this job? Do I have this job?
And you're waiting for that boss.
Mr. Polinzi, do I have this job? And he said, of course you have the job. I gave you the libretto. And he walked away.
That's like the seal of approval. You know?
I guess so, but yeah. I didn't know. And if you're not familiar with the way a lot of musical theater works in Chicago, you have 2 weeks from the first rehearsal to opening night. So,
which is not a lot of time.
It is not a lot of time to get the singing, dancing, acting, you know, to get it all down. I don't think I even realized I was in a show until a month after it was on.
That is amazing.
Because I'm just going to work every day. It just became the thing that I did. And then I thought, wait a minute, what just happened here?
I got the part.
It was, I will always be grateful for that. That was such an incredible opportunity straight out of the gate. It's not something that you count on. It's not something you think after 15, 20 years, you will be lucky if you can eat and live indoors doing what you're doing. But this town is so supportive of theater that I tell my friends who are tired of New York, I say, well, come here and give it a try.
Yeah.
You can make a living here.
Yep,
you
absolutely.
Know?
And we appreciate it, too.
I really think
Chicago audiences really appreciate
they
the theater.
Really do. They really do. They, you know, I mean, there are 4 or 5 theaters in within 5 or 10 minutes of any direction where you go. In my old neighborhood, you know, I was by Straw Dog and Mariachi and Oracle, and you just, they don't necessarily cost a lot of money.
No.
And they do great work. This is the thing that I really love about Chicago theaters. You can pay $1 million to put up a play. You can spend 10 cents putting up a play.
Sure.
And that does not necessarily factor into whether it's going to be a good story or not, because it really is about the storytelling in this town.
Right.
So you can pay $6,000 to see a play, and it'll be great or it'll be terrible. You could pay $10 to see a play in this town. It'll be great. It'll be terrible. But it really is about the storytelling and the commitment of the people who are doing it. And it is a part of the community in a way that it's not necessarily so in some places. In some places, it's like this giant elitist event that only special people can afford to see. Whereas in Chicago, you know, you can,
it's everywhere.
Go to work, you pick up the dry cleaning, you go to the theater.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
And it's a part of the community in a way that I really, really appreciate.
Well, you and Chicago appreciates you, too. I hope you are proud of everything that you've accomplished. You're such an amazing actress. I can't wait to see you on stage. Miss Ora Jones, please stay in Chicago a little longer.
I think I'm going to have to.
We're claiming you as one of our own forever.
So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You are a delight.
Thank you.